The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter number 2, text number 16, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on February 11th, 2007, in Tallahassee, Florida, USA.
Saturday we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter number 2, Divinity and Divine Service, text number 16.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Om namo bhagavate
Shushru sho shradadanasya Vasudeva kataruchi Sanmahatsevaya vipra Punyatirtanishevanat.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. O twice-born sages, by serving those devotees who are completely freed from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudev. Purport. The conditioned life of a living being is caused by his revolting against the Lord. There are men called deva, or godly living beings, and there are men called asuras, or demons, who are against the authority of the Supreme Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, 16th chapter, a vivid description of the asuras is given, in which it is said that the asuras are put into lower and lower states of ignorance, life after life, and so sink to the lower animal forms and have no information of the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead. These asuras are gradually rectified to God consciousness by the mercy of the Lord's liberated servitors in different countries, according to the Supreme Will. Such devotees of God are very confidential associates of the Lord. And when they come to save human society from the dangers of godlessness, they are known as the powerful incarnations of the Lord, as sons of the Lord, as servants of the Lord, or as associates of the Lord. But none of them falsely claim to be God themselves. This is a blasphemy declared by the asuras, and the demoniac followers of such asuras are also accept pretenders as God or his incarnation. In the revealed scriptures, there is definite information of the incarnation of God. No one should be accepted as God or as an incarnation of God unless he is confirmed by the revealed scriptures. The servants of God are to be respected as God by the devotees who actually want to go back to Godhead. Such servants of God are called Mahatmas or Tirthas, and they preach according to particular time and place. The servants of God urge people to become devotees of the Lord. They never tolerate being called God. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was God himself, according to the indications of the revealed scriptures, but he played the part of a devotee. People who knew him to be God addressed him as God, but he used to block his ears with his hands and chant the name of Lord Vishnu. He strongly protested against being called God, although undoubtedly he was God himself. The Lord behaved so to warn us against unscrupulous men who take pleasure in being addressed as God. The servants of God come to propagate God consciousness, and intelligent people should cooperate with them in every respect. By serving the servant of God, one can please God more than by directly serving the Lord. The Lord is more pleased when he sees that his servants are properly respected, because such servants risk everything for the service of the Lord and are so very dear to the Lord. The Lord declares in the Bhagavad Gita 18:69 that no one is dearer to him than one who risks everything to preach his glory. By serving the servants of the Lord, one gradually gets the quality of such servants, and thus one becomes qualified to hear the glories of God. The eagerness to hear about God is the first qualification of a devotee eligible for entering the kingdom of God. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Shakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Shri Chaitanya Manomishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam. So, to be attracted to hearing the glories of God, that is a great qualification. It is not always easy to get that taste, but that taste is the first qualification for being eligible to enter into Goloka Vrindavan. We see this quality is very, very strong in the advanced Vaishnavas, in the perfect Vaishnavas. For example, our most beloved founder Acharya, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, in his younger days, when he was a pharmaceutical businessman in Allahabad, those days he was known as Abhay Charan Day. He had met Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur in 1922 when he was the manager of Dr. Bose's chemical factory in Calcutta. And after a few minutes of arguing with Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he realized he was defeated, and he was happily defeated by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And at that moment, within his heart, he accepted, "This is my spiritual master." There was no formal diksha yet, but yet within his heart, Prabhupada said, practically, he initiated me. So he had that practical initiation within the heart, and he was always thinking, "What a great saintly person I have met." But for livelihood activities, he was now situated in Allahabad, far away from the Gaudiya Math activities. But then the followers of Bhakti Siddhanta, some of them came to Allahabad to begin a branch of their society in Allahabad. And of course, Abhay Charan was delighted to help them and to be back in touch with the disciples of that person whom he accepted in his heart as his spiritual master. So, around that time, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he came to Braj Mandal to do the parikrama. And in each place, there would be Prabhachan in the evening, preaching program. But there is also other things happening in the evening too in the Vrindavan area, that is darshan. Here in the Western world, evening time, nightlife means bars, cinema houses, strip parlors, you know, like that. But in Vrindavan, the nightlife is going for darshan. So, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati, in the evening time, he is preaching, giving some preaching program. And, of course, he speaks in very, very erudite English. You have to get an unabridged dictionary just to follow what he's talking about some of the time. The materialistic deminar cannot possibly stretch to the transcendental autocrat in this way. He was speaking in very, very big, big, big words. That the disciples, they could not follow oftentimes. What is Guru Maharaj saying? I don't know. And even our Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, he said that I would sometimes understand or sometimes I would not understand, but still I would go on hearing. You see. So, in the evening time, mostly the disciples, they all go for the darshan. You see. Something they can relate to. But Srila Prabhupada, he would stay, a very small number, they would stay and they would hear Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakura speak. So he would stay and he would just go on hearing, you see. So shortly after that, there was some recommendation. It's like in ISKCON, the local leaders will recommend to the spiritual master that this person is now worthy of being initiated. So, the recommendation came from the Allahabad devotees that this Abhai Charan Day, Guru Maharaj, he is a very suitable candidate for initiation. We think you should initiate him. He said, oh yes, this boy hears very nicely. He noted his hearing. You see. The others go away, but this one, he stays and he hears, you see. So that is the actual qualification. That eagerness to hear about God. You see. If you would like to have a ticket in your hand for going back to Krishna Loka, confirmed seat on the Vaikuntha airplane, you see, then you have to be very, very, very eager to hear about God. That's all. If you have that eagerness, utsahan, that enthusiasm to hear about God, then you're qualified. You have your ticket back to Goloka Vrindavan. But what to do if you have no attraction to hear about God? What is your hope? You don't have the ticket money. The ticket money is that eagerness to hear. But what if you don't have the ticket money? What will you do? You see, I have no eagerness to hear, I just want to sleep. You see, I have no eagerness to hear, then what you will do? So Bhagavatam is giving you a formula how to get your ticket money together. If you have no ticket money, Bhagavatam is giving you this technique how to get ticket money. Shushru sho shadadanasho vasudeva kataruchi sanmahat sevya vipra punya tirta nishevana. If you have no eagerness to hear, then you just serve those devotees who are advanced in Krishna consciousness, who are free from vice. You see, you don't have anything up their sleeve, any ulterior motive, who are out to manipulate people, who are just simply humble servitors of the Lord with no ulterior motives. You see, find out such Vaishnavas and serve them. By that service, Prabhupada points out here in his beautiful purport, by that service you get their qualities. This is one of the hottest tips in the Bhagavad philosophy. Whatever qualities you want, find someone who has those qualities and serve them, and you get their qualities automatically. But you know what our problem is? We have the other nature. We have that other side, what is called envy. We have that envious nature also. That's what got us here. The envious nature got us in this cycle of birth and death. So we have a tendency, if there's some devotee who's very advanced and very qualified, we think, yeah, but he eats too many sweets, or, you know, You know, we try to find something we can do to minimize him. Yeah, but he's proud of being recognized. You know, he's very proud of it being recognized as a great speaker, a great singer, this or that. Yeah. Or he puts his tilak on crooked, you know. Got to find something wrong with him so I can feel that I'm better than him. You see, that's called envy. But that is a self-defeating mentality. If we can appreciate those devotees who are very nicely absorbed in Krishna consciousness, doesn't mean necessarily a big position or some doesn't matter. It can be a humble pujari. Doesn't matter. We should learn how to appreciate and see the saintly qualities in the devotees. Because the more we appreciate those saintly qualities, then those saintly qualities come to us. But if we're looking for faults, if we're like the fly looking, where is the sore? Where is the fault with this devotee? You see? If we're always in that mood of looking for faults, then guess what? That sort of meditation gets you. If you meditate on saintly qualities, you develop saintly qualities. If you meditate on faults, then you get faults. Yeah, that devotee eats too many sweets, or that devotee this and that. Then you have those qualities yourself because that's what you're meditating on. So, there's no reason to be envious. No reason to be envious. It's a self-defeating emotion. We should come to the platform as described here of appreciating and serving those devotees who are very nicely pushing on the Krishna consciousness movement, who are very nicely practicing their Krishna consciousness, whatever they may be, sannyasi, grihastha, brahmachari, whatever position they may have. Let us learn to see and appreciate the saintly qualities of all the devotees, whether they're male, female, adult, child, it doesn't matter. Everyone throughout the society, they're all spirit souls. Actually, our philosophy is you can even learn the lesson from a dog. Oh, how faithful the dog is to his master. There are many dogs who gave up their lives. Even recently we heard a house was on fire. The dog went in to save the cats. He actually died. The dog died saving the cats. You see? So, even the dog we can meditate on the good qualities of the dog, how faithful he is to the master. What to speak of someone who is trying to serve Prabhupada's mission? There's in our society, there's too much backbiting, fault-finding. It's too much. It's self-defeating, but just like we turn by that sort of mood of backbiting and fault-finding, we turn this society, which is actually meant, according to Prabhupada's directions, to lead the entire world out of chaos, we turn it into some kind of Keystone Cop operation, if you know the old Keystone Cops and the silent flicks in the early days. These cartoon characters, cartoon-esque characters, you know, the bank robbers getting away with the loot and the cops are bumping into each other. They're running around in circles and bumping into each other, and meanwhile the bank robber takes off with the loot, laughing at these foolish police. So we don't want to turn this kind into a Keystone Cop operation. Everybody's just fighting one another. You know, we have to learn how to love one another, how to appreciate one another, you see. Of course, there is a need for senior devotees, those who are advanced in Krishna consciousness, to point out faults of those who are struggling to overcome their faults. But who is actually qualified to point out the faults? That person who truly appreciates the good qualities in a devotee, you see. who is a true well-wisher of that devotee who has no tinge of envy in his heart, who simply wants to help that devotee to move forward in Krishna consciousness. That is the devotee who is qualified to point out the faults, not others. You see? The person who is a true well-wisher, just as Prabhupada, we knew Prabhupada was our true well-wisher. Whatever he said, we would take it as mercy. Whether he expressed his pleasure or he expressed his extreme displeasure with us, we took it all as pure mercy, pure nectar. So we need to, each and every one of us, need to cultivate this spirit of being the true well-wisher of all the devotees. Why only the devotees? Why not all living entities? Let's see. We need to cultivate this mood of being the true well-wisher of all living entities throughout the entire existence. So, in this well-wishing activity, we should not neglect, there's one person we should definitely not neglect, and that's ourselves. We should be, first of all, the true well-wisher of ourselves by making sure that we're always engaged in Krishna consciousness. As Prabhupada explains, Krishna consciousness is the highest self-interest of the individual. So we have what is known as transcendental selfishness. Prabhupada said, there is nothing more important than saving the world. But it's even more important to save yourself. So our first business is to see that I am fixed in Krishna consciousness. As Prabhupada many times stated, physician, heal thyself. If you want to be a medical doctor, then you have to be healthy. Otherwise you cannot do your work as a medical doctor. So our first business is to be fixed in Krishna consciousness. We have everything we need. We have all facilities. We simply have to plug in to all the facilities we've gotten. Everything is there. We've got a good ship. We've got a good captain. We're homeward bound. We just have to stay on the ship. That's all. At every minute. Keep the thoughts, words, and deeds pleasing to Krishna, pleasing to Guru, pleasing to Vaishnavas. We have to be introspective. We have to be always observing our own thoughts. Is that a Krishna conscious thought that I'm having right now? If it's not, nip it. Jayato Vishayan Pung Sang Sangate Shupajayate. If we contemplate material sense objects in the mind, then it's pulling us off the path of bhakti. Just like yesterday, we drove from Tampa to Tallahassee. Now, it's up to the driver. If he starts to go off the road, he's got to get the car back on the road. Isn't it? If the car starts to go off the road, he's going to keep going off the road. No. Oh, the car's going off the road, I got to get it back on. You see? So we should be that vigilant with our mind at every minute. Just like the driver has to watch the car to make sure it's on the road, I have to always be observing my mind. Is it Krishna conscious right now? Am I on the road or am I veering off the road? If I see I'm starting to veer off, whoop, get back on again, you see. Get back. Am I thinking about sex? Am I thinking about some greedy thoughts, some lusty thoughts, some angry thoughts? Whoop, better get back on the road. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. In this way, if you become a master of your own mind, then the other things will automatically fall into place. If your mind is controlled, then your words will be controlled naturally. If you're always thinking about Krishna, then you're always going to have Krishna Gita coming out of your mouth. And you're always going to engage in Krishna conscious activities. The real secret of success in Krishna consciousness is to keep an eye on what your mind is doing and make sure it's Krishna conscious. That's all. If you can do that one thing, you've got it made. You're going back to Godhead in this lifetime. That's all you have to do. Make sure that your mind is fixed in Krishna consciousness at every minute. And we know what it is. We've read the books. All you have to do is be honest with ourselves. Whoops, I'm getting off the track. Better get back on the track again. You see? So this is actually ecstatic. What we're doing is, even though the mind sometimes gets attracted to mundane things, we know we feel dirty after, you know, contemplating them or even further, you know, going further. We know how dirty and unsatisfied we are. We just have to muster the resolute determination to keep the mind always fixed in Krishna consciousness. And as soon as you do it, then it becomes very, very enlivening. A Krishna conscious devotee actually doesn't need anything external. Prabhupada explains that someone who is Krishna conscious, he can simply sit and relish being Krishna conscious. I mean, we don't really need anything else. Just imagine if, you know, a devotee can be in any situation. And he can just relish being Krishna conscious. He may not have any external facilities, but he can relish just thinking about Krishna, being Krishna conscious. That in itself is totally satisfying. Nothing else is required. Just like that Brahmin in South India, he wanted to be Krishna conscious. He didn't have anything external at all. He didn't have a kitchen. He didn't have any bhoga. He didn't have a stove. He didn't have any money. He had no facility, but he had this desire to cook an elaborate feast for the Lord. He loved cooking, but he had no facility to cook. So he would just sit there on the bank of the river and meditate. Well, I'm getting the bitter melon, I have the knife, and I'm cutting, and now I'm lighting the fire. And this way he would just contemplate cooking all these elaborate feasts, the sweet rice, and the puris, and the pakora. He would cook these elaborate feasts all within his mind. And he was so deeply, deeply absorbed in it that, you know, the sweet rice, it is much better to offer when it is cooled. So, in his mind, he was cooking a nice pot of sweet rice, and then he was letting it sit for some time. He was working on some different preps in his mind. He said, well, let me get over back to the sweet rice and see if it's cool enough now to offer. So he dipped his finger in his mind. He dipped his finger into the pot. Oh, too hot. I didn't let it sit there long enough. And his meditation, he was so deeply in meditation, he actually burned his finger physically. And Lord Narayan is in Vaikuntha is observing. This is an amazing devotee. I think he should come back to Godhead right now. He sent a Vaikuntha airplane down, pick him up and take him back. So even he had no external facilities. He's simply sitting on the bank of the river. No external facility. And he was simply meditating on Krishna consciousness, you see. And that meditation was so deep, it was so intense, the Lord was so pleased, he sent a Vaikuntha airplane down. So just imagine, if you were so deeply absorbed in Krishna consciousness, your contemplation was so deep, that Krishna said, oh, just see how nice this devotee is. Then let me send a Vaikuntha airplane right now to Tallahassee to pick him up, take him back to Godhead. This is the quality of service that we should be cultivating at every minute. This sort of quality of pure bhakti. That will qualify us to be the happiest people in the whole universe and to spread this movement like wildfire, because everyone's suffering right now on this planet. You see? So anyway, we can ask now if there's any questions. Yeah.
Guruji, in translation, one of the words means twice born.
Yes.
So what's the significance?
The sages of Namisharanya are being addressed here. O twice born sages. So they are twice born. The first birth is from mother and father. The second birth is from Guru and Vedas. Guru is father and Vedas, they are mother. So when one becomes initiated by the bona fide spiritual master, then you're twice born. Until your diksha, you are only a once born fellow. But after your diksha, you are twice born. You see? Your first birth is from the womb, the mother and father. Your second birth is diksha by the bona fide spiritual master. So, this is a very important thing. One should become twice born. If he is only once born, he is considered Shudra. That's all. Twice born man, he becomes transcendentally situated. Once born man, he is Shudra. That's all. Any other question? Yeah.
You were talking like about doing service as a means to attain perfection or that taste for hearing.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it happens in situations that, you know, we are sort of disturbed as to what we should do, whether we should serve this here or serve there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's confusion in mind in doing service.
Mm-hmm.
So, how do we overcome confusion while being engaged in service?
There's so many service opportunities, I don't know which one to do first.
Yes, Guruji, the mind is not clear as to what...
What should my service be? Well, that's why Guru is a very important thing, you see. Because Guru, he will tell you, this is your service. I now assign you to this department, this is your service. This is one mistake these Ritvik people make. They say that only Prabhupada is Guru. But Prabhupada points out in his books how the spiritual master will practically engage the disciple. You do this service, you do that service. This Ritvik philosophy doesn't allow one to be personally engaged by the spiritual master. And Prabhupada says this is the way it works. You're personally engaged by the spiritual master. And you go this department, you go that department. So when we have Guru, a person that we completely surrender to, then it's very simple. Whatever service Guru Maharaj gives me, I do, that's all. Very simple thing, there's no confusion. Whatever my Guru has ordered me to do, I simply do that. So that's why everyone should become twice born. Because when you're twice born, you have Guru, and Guru says, do this, do that. You know exactly what your duty is. Yes.
Once born is a Brahmin. Sudra.
Mm-hmm.
Twice born is a Brahmin.
Mm-hmm.
How do you classify about other two categories? Like Kshatriya?
Actually, Kshatriya and Vaishyas, they also take second birth. Yeah. To be elevated beyond Shudra, you have to be twice born. The Vaishya and Kshatriya, they also become second, they also become initiated disciples of Guru. So everyone is actually, the brahminical qualities are there actually in the Vaishyas and the Kshatriyas also. That's why Kshatriya, they are called Rajarshi. They are Raja, they are king, but they are Rishi also. So that brahminical quality is there also, even when they're acting as Kshatriya. They have their mental quality. That's why they humble themselves before their guru. See, because they have a mental quality, and Vaishyas also, they engage in cow protection. You see, so they have that saintly quality. So the mental qualities are there, although they act in a different capacity. Still, the transcendental mental qualities are there in the Kshatriya and Vaishya also. Any other questions? Yes.
You mentioned that when Prabhupada was hearing from his Guru Maharaj and he could not understand the words, then if...
He understands some things.
And if he cannot understand the words, then how can it penetrate into the heart?
Ah, okay. Actually, I was there with Srila Prabhupada in New Vrindavan in 1972. And he made a wonderful point in his lecture. He said that it's not exactly this point, but it actually deals with this point that you're bringing up. He said it does not require any particular language. Just the thunder does not require any particular language. You can go to France and hear the thunder. You can go to Germany and hear the thunder. You can go to India. And any language, any country you may go to, you can hear the thunder. You understand that it's thunder. It does not require any particular language to understand thunder. So Prabhupada said the Sanskrit is like that. But that same potency is there just in the general preaching as well. Any presentation of Krishna conscious philosophy in any language, whether it's English, French, German, Spanish, Russian, Hindi, Gujarati, you know, Marathi, any language. Just as the Sanskrit verses have potency, any description of Krishna, Krishna Katha, which is according to the Acharyas, in any language, it has a spiritual potency to deliver the hearer, even if they don't understand a word of what's being said. It has spiritual power to purify the heart, to bring one back to one's original constitutional nature, Jivera Svarupa Hoy, Krishnara Nitya Das. Yes, that's right. The child in the womb doesn't know any particular language yet. But yet, the Krishna Katha, the mother, parents are engaging in, that is benefiting the child. That's right. Very good point. That's right. That's right. The Harinam is so powerful. They have no idea what's going on. What's going on here? But they're being uplifted. They're being purified. That's a fact. Same thing with Prasadam. They don't have to know anything what it is. They just have to touch it. Even touching the books, Prabhupada said, they get purified. There's such great power in this Krishna consciousness movement. Everything about it. Just setting foot on the temple property. You see, the postman comes up here and puts the letters under. They have a box. The postman gets purified. Some dog who walks across your front lawn, you're getting purified. Just by setting foot on the temple property. There's great power here, this Krishna consciousness movement. Anyone who has any contact with this movement, knowingly or unknowingly, they are being uplifted. That's the thing.
Even him, I mean, he doesn't even speak much English. But I know that he's benefiting so much by even trying to see you speak and your whole attitude and just Krishna's mind.
What language does he speak?
Portuguese.
Oh, okay.
You know, but there's so much benefit from being here, even if he doesn't understand much of what you're saying, you know? So, you understand much of what he's saying?
Habla español poquito? That's the closest I know to Portuguese. Is Spanish. A little close. They're next door neighbors' languages.
Habla fala. Actually, habla. In Portuguese, it's fala.
Bueno. So, any other question? All right.
I was watching this official video, and in that, you know, Prabhupada was married, and his wife was singing a song of Krishna, and she didn't understand the meaning. So Prabhupada asked her, you know, that, you know, you sang the song, but you didn't understand the meaning. That is not very good, or something like that. That
effect. Right.
And once, I think the guru, they were singing the guru vandana prayers, and they were singing, but the disciples didn't know what it meant.
Right.
So I was trying to, how do we understand? Like, once we, one on one side we say,
both are true. That's all. Simple.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you're actually an initiated disciple, you should know the meaning. The power is there, even if you don't know the meaning. But that means you shouldn't remain dumb and not know anything. It's common sense. I mean, the potency is there. It's purifying. But if you're going to be a teacher, everyone who becomes initiated disciple, Brahman, second initiate, they should be qualified to teach the science of bhakti. They have to know what's going on. So the their Brahman means learned. He should know the meaning. What is the meaning of these verses? Prabhupada said, like a lawyer knows his law books. He wants us to be very, very learned in this philosophy. That's a fact.
But at the same time, with Brahmana, who was illiterate, and he did not understand the word of Bhagavad Gita, and he was on the order of the spiritual master, he got all the imports of the Vedic knowledge.
Yes. So, we may see, well, this is contradictory, but no, it's not contradictory. Both are true. One has to, if we try to remain on the intellectual platform, it appears to be contradictory. You have to come off the platform of Gyan and come to the platform of Vigyan. And then it all fits together just perfectly. But if you try to see it intellectually without coming to the transcendental platform, it'll never make sense. You know, how we could say that one has to know the philosophy at the same time glorify the illiterate Brahman? You see? One has to be able to read, you know, should be able to read, and should be bhakti shastri, and we glorify the illiterate Brahman. Of course, actually, he was highly learned in the philosophy. He just couldn't read. He could speak. He could, just couldn't read. But no, there's actually no contradictions here. There are no contradictions anywhere in this philosophy. Everything fits together perfectly. It's the most perfect presentation of reality that exists. There is no other sex explanation. And there is no one. They try to put together other philosophies, concoct them, but they always are full of discrepancies. This philosophy is absolutely perfect. This is God's own explanation of what He has done, of how everything that He has put together works properly. This is the owner's manual from the manufacturer. Okay? The manufacturer knows how the product works because he designed it. Others may speculate, well, I think this, I think that. Well, that doesn't work. The manufacturer himself has said, this precisely is how everything functions. Now, you follow these directions and you will have the perfect utilization of this thing known as existence. Any other questions? Yes?
In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says that one should apply logic,
yes,
one's intelligence to understand the philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
That's right.
So, I mean, is it that at an intellectual level we have to understand this philosophy?
Absolutely. But you have to understand intelligence is the next door neighbor of the soul, but it's not exactly the soul. You can get next. You should use your intelligence to the max, and then you have to the same. Then you have to be intelligent enough to go beyond your intelligence also. By surrender to the holy name, where the intelligence leaves off, the holy name takes over. You got it. You should take you. You know, the intelligence is the airport. And when you get to the airport, then you get on the airplane. The holy name is the airplane, taking off from the airport. The intelligence will get you to the airport. But then you have to have enough faith to get on the plane. The holy name to take off. You have to utilize intelligence. If you don't use your intelligence, you won't ever get to the airport. It's like tomorrow we're flying to Texas. So we have to get to the airport. And then from there we can go to Texas. So the intelligence is the airport and the holy name is the airplane. It'll take you to your destination. The intelligence will not take you to your destination, but it will take you to the airport. Is that clear?
Because I was mainly saying that there is logic and there is faith. There are two
Yes, bhakti and Vedanta, yes.
Yeah, so I was at some point there are so many descriptions in the Bhagavatam that are like far out, which you cannot even comprehend.
Yes, yes. So they have to be realized, yeah.
Yeah, so at
one that takes the airplane, yeah. Yeah. You go as far, you take your intelligence to the max, as far as you can go, and then from there you have to take shelter of the lotus feet of Guru, take shelter of the holy names, and this way you'll be elevated to the transcendental platform beyond this dimension of time and space. Do you understand? Yes.
Prabhuji, but if somebody has only faith and does not understand the philosophy, can he still...
Faith alone can liberate you, actually. Even if you're not very intelligent. If you have very, very strong faith, then intelligence will come automatically. That's a thing.
Krishna gives the remembrance and
forgetfulness. Yeah. Sarvashyasaham Hridi Sanavishnam Ataksmatir Gyanam. You have very strong faith, Krishna will give you all intelligence. You will realize Yashya Deve Para Bhaktir Tata Deve Tata Guru Tasyaite Yatira Prakar Prakashante Mahatmanaha. To those persons who have unflinching faith in the words of Guru and Krishna, all the imports of Vedic knowledge are made crystal clear. So if you have very, very strong faith in the words of your Guru Maharaj and the words of Krishna, then you will understand everything perfectly. That's a fact. Any other points? All right, we'll stop here. So, thank you very much. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.